This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Three Man Front.
It's Landon Roberts and Matt McLaren. And we're here at Academy Sports and Outdoors in Huntsville, Alabama, off of Memorial Parkway. Already had several Jocks listeners that have dropped by and said hello. We're going to be broadcasting until 2 as we merge shows once again. Pat Smith will be back tomorrow, but it's the, I don't know, what are we calling this? The Landmat?
The Landmat's good.
Yeah. Landmat.
I like Landmat. Mm. We'll have to figure out a name for when we do shows together.
Yeah. But we're going to be continuing, and we kind of just change gears, and we merge into the Matt McLaren Show coming up at the top of the hour.
I'm looking forward to that. I hope you are.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always an adventure with you, Matt.
It is.
Especially the drive up here. No, I thought we were going to be doing the show via phone.
Cell phone. Yeah, that was, I mean, it's, you know, hey. After this, maybe we'll just go to Nashville. Who knows?
I think we got other stuff coming up later on tonight. Speaking of later on tonight, we got football back. We got college football. We got Marshall taking on App State. A little CUSA and Sun Belt. And then we get the NFL. How about the Panthers? 2-0. Impressive win over the Saints. And Sam Darnold's finally found a home. And for the Texans, Houston, they won week one. But that was against the Jaguars.
Yeah, Panthers are interesting to me because I think, you know, everybody gave up on Sam Darnold with the Jets, but I say this all the time, man. Like, you have to have something to put around your young quarterback to help him out. Guess what they have? And you think anybody on defense is trying to figure out how to stop Sam Darnold? No. They're trying to figure out how to stop Christian McCaffrey. So it's a lot easier for Sam Darnold with DJ Moore and Terrence Marshall, some of the weapons they have there, but mainly McCaffrey. A lot easier. Matt Rhule, it's interesting. 2-0, did not see that coming. They'll be 3-0 after tonight. That's a solid start for Carolina.
Oh, so you're not putting any stock into
Texans
Davis.
Are trash. Davis Mills is going to
Davis Mills, who played in 14 games in his career there at Stanford.
No, look.
Tyrod Taylor being out, Deshaun Watson, they're not going to let him touch the field.
Texans are going to lose handedly, and then it'll either be Jacksonville or Houston for the number one pick, and whoever isn't that will get the number two pick.
No, I agree. And the Panthers are a 7.5-point favorite in that game on the NFL Network. We got Bud Light Game Night coming up tonight, 5-7, myself, Pat Smith. They're at Topgolf. We're going to have a couple of bays. Our friends with Bud Light are going to be giving stuff away. Come and hit some golf balls. Talk some ball with us as we broadcast live Bud Light Game Night every Thursday here on Jocks 94.5 from 5 until 7. Other news, college football playoff board meeting. Well, they talked about it. He said, you know what? I know the presidents and chancellors are supposed to meet in Rosemont next week. The flights are booked. Go ahead and cancel those flights. We don't want the chancellors and the presidents here to vote because there's going to be no vote because after these discussions, I don't really even know why they got together yesterday. I think we all knew what the outcome of this was going to be, Matt, and that is, well, since everything has changed, the shifting landscape of college football has changed with the conferences and who's going to be where. We don't know. I don't see any kind of resolution coming anytime soon.
I don't think so either. The part of it that makes sense to me is the TV thing where, look, I get the other conferences. If you do it now, ESPN's going to control it. And the idea that you at least want to try to get it to somewhere where there's an open bidding war on this, because the open bidding war is going to create way more money for everybody involved on this, because streaming people are going to want in on this. CBS and NBC and ESPN and everybody that's got anything to do with television is going to want a piece of what this could be. That part makes sense. The part that doesn't make sense is saying, well, let's wait until we see where everything settles. Who cares? Just put a structure in place. Doesn't matter who the teams are. Put the structure in place that makes sense. Figure that out. And then you can go worry about how you're going to sell it.
Well, you know who's not sweating it, though? And that's the funny part about all of this. It's not the SEC.
Why would they?
No, SEC with fine with four. Why would you not be fine with four?
Yeah. Now, you know, you expand to 12, you'll get five teams in.
Here's the thing. The teams that the commissioners that were raising such a ruckus and causing such a fuss about all of this, they're the ones that are now reluctant to vote on it when it would benefit their teams.
Right.
I mean, no matter what, here's the thing, and it goes back to this. Like the media, the money deal and all of that, that's a big question. They want to throw in player safety with adding an extra game. Give me a break. You guys aren't.
Player safety is not a thing.
Player safety is, it's legitimate. I'm not discounting it. I'm saying don't use that as a reason So, oh, we need to research this more.
Come on. It's an illusion. Player safety is like the gate at your apartment complex. There's a gate. Yeah, and guess what? Everybody can follow you in every time it opens. It doesn't matter. It's the illusion of safety. Every time they throw out that term, player safety, it's the illusion that they want you to care about it, because really they don't. They care about money. And if everybody was going to make, I'll tell you right now, if Jeff Bezos was like, hey, I'm going to start my own playoff, and I'm going to pay each of you $1 billion to play in it, but you have to play a 20-game season, they would do it.
Sure.
I mean, it's about money. At the end of the day, it all goes back to money.
So if you're the Big 12, if you're the Pac-12, why are you holding up this vote if you don't want it? It's going to guarantee more spots. Yep. You would have 8 more spots.
You could actually get in.
Yeah, you could actually get in, but now you're just going to continue to delay it. The road continues to be what it has been. So I don't know. To say, well, the SEC, look at these teams now. I guess technically, if you kept it under the same format, there's a chance you get five SEC teams into a college football playoff.
In a year like this?
Yeah.
In a year like this, for sure, because I'm telling you, man, when you look at the landscape of what these other conferences have that are laid out before them, because of how poor the ACC is and how poor the Pac-12 is, and quite honestly, how poor it looks like the Big 12 might actually be this year with Oklahoma struggling, you can make a legitimate case. Maybe we'll lay this out when we get up to the noon hour, but you can make a legitimate case that three SEC teams are truly going to be deserving by the time the season ends. Now, are they going to put three in? I'd be stunned if the playoff committee did that. I can't imagine they do that. They'll make something where, I mean, you can see a path where Alabama and Georgia are undefeated in the SEC title game. If that's the case, they're both in.
Certainly.
And then you could look at it and go, well, they're undefeated.
Well, Ole Miss.
Maybe it's Ole Miss.
Ole Miss lost one game.
Right.
And they, you know, a 7-point game to Alabama on the road.
And then you sit there and you look at the landscape of everything else that's going on. You go, well, I mean, they beat however many that would be, what, 4 ranked teams or whatever it is at that point. You lost to one. It was close. It was a tough road game for you at Bryant-Denny. I mean, you will be able to make the argument, and there is a legitimate, realistic path where three SEC teams are going to deserve to get in. I just don't think they'll do that, because what they'll do is they'll say, well, yeah, but this other school who has 2 losses won their conference. We think you guys are even, so we'll give it to the conference.
Yeah, I mean, you can find a way to support your argument, whoever you want to put in. You could find a way when we threw out, all right, after 3 weeks, who would you put in your college football playoff? You could make the argument for Ole Miss just based on eye test. Who's going to battle
you
on that?
Yeah,
right? They're undefeated.
Sure.
But you can make the argument for Iowa. Hey, they played a tougher schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You make the argument for Oregon. Hey, they won a road game in Columbus, Ohio. There's all of that. Hey, Notre Dame, they survive in advance. That's a team. They've got a lot of will. Well, I think that's going to be tested at Soldier Field when they take on Wisconsin coming up this weekend. But to going back to the point of delaying this, I mean, you're not hurting anyone but yourselves, the folks that were clamoring for this.
Which, again, to me, it goes back to the money. Because I do believe, and I think it does make sense, that you don't want to expand it right now because ESPN's the only one you can deal with.
Right.
And ESPN goes, okay, you know what? We're going to, but then we want to extend the current contract 5 years, whatever it is. So I can understand other conferences. Don't say anything else. Don't say you care. Let's see how it shakes out, player safety. Just say, we want more money, and we believe we will get more money if we wait and get this to the open market where everybody can bid on it. That is all that matters. That's all they care about. They're trying to use these other excuses and throw out things where it makes sense. Or No, it's not. It's about the money. That makes sense. It's always about the money.
Well, it's always about getting out of pain. Archetype Health in Homewood, that's where I went over 2 years ago. They got me out of pain. My back was awful. I'd never had any previous back problems. One day, just out of the blue, it was a shooting pain, like crawling, tears coming out of my eye pain, where something was going on in my lower back. Surgery looked like it was going to be the only option. Out of desperation, I was reluctant, but I went, tried Archetype Health right there in Homewood. It's not just chiropractic care. It's total body health, from nutrition to fitness. If you're a weekend warrior, if you like triathlons, they have an altitude room. Simulate elevations of 17,000 feet.
Awesome.
It's the only one of its kind in the Southeast.
It's incredible.
It's really, really cool, and it's not like walking into a doctor's office. But Dr. John Morgan, his staff, they're smiling. Cool staff, friendly. You're going to be very, very comfortable. Some of our Jocks listeners have already taken advantage of this. You can as well. It's Archetype Health. They're right there off of Highway 31 in Homewood. You can go to Archetype. That's Archetype health, or go to 205-803-1234. Tell them Jocks, three-man front, Matt McLaren said, get in there. They're going to take care of you.
Well, I'm about to start.
Yes, you are.
I called them yesterday, actually.
Yep.
So I'm hoping to get in there next week and start continuing some of my treatment. I had a car accident, really bad one, a couple of months ago that jacked up my back, and I'd been getting treated in Dallas, and now I'm transferring my care. And
you'll
I
be a new man.
Legit.
You will be a new man.
I'm looking forward to it because my back is all kinds of wacky.
All right. Speaking of wacky, sometimes it gets a little wacky. Five questions today asked by John Saber. This is what we call Pat Ponders. And it's always brought to us by Alabama Roofing Professionals, Mike and the Gang, honest, trustworthy company. They're taking care of me, Cole Kulick, Pat Smith, so many others. They can take care of you. The free roof inspections, warranty, all the work that they do. And don't forget about the blow-in insulation service they offer, keeping your home energy efficient when it gets cold outside. Here in the South, you want that furnace to be blowing that heat that's going to stay in your house, keep you warm. It's Alabama Roofing Professionals, 205-722-ROOF or alroofpros.com.
All right, gentlemen, question number one. Who is the most annoying person in the public eye? Originally, the question was going to be, which person do you find the most annoying? But then I thought you may call somebody out that may be on the air or you have to work with, and I thought, well, let's not go down that path.
Okay.
So,
I understand.
I mean, you're welcome to give that if you want to. I just don't want to put you in that situation. Mm-mm. And, you know, Matt and I would have said Landrum, and then you've got to ride home with him.
He's like, hey, man, we got a flat. Can you get out and help me change it? And I would. He'd drive off.
Yeah.
Things you have to do to get home. So that's why I shifted it to who is the most annoying person in the public eye. Because to me, it's not even close. It's James Corden.
Really? Interesting. He just seems so happy and positive all the time.
I don't know. I don't like him. I don't think he's funny. I don't think he's good at what he does.
Okay, I mean, that's fair. I can understand that part. But at least he's trying. Man, who is the most annoying person in the public eye? That's a really good question, actually. I can't think of who it would be. Because if somebody annoys me like that, I just don't watch them or whatever.
Right.
I don't expose myself to it. I eliminate things of that nature from my life. Like, I don't get into politics or anything. I don't really pay attention to any of that because I find it annoying. It would probably be some politician because I don't ever pay attention to it because of that. You know, the Kardashians come to mind.
Kardashians, yeah. That would be up there for me.
But I never pay attention to them because of that.
Well, no, but you still, I mean, you can't help but see them. And, I mean, it's always, and look, I mean, to their credit, they made a lot of money and they're really successful. I think the Kardashian clan, to me, would be
okay.
Right now,
yeah, they got to be up there.
They would be up there. Who else for you? I mean, you could go. I guess you could go somebody that plays a character on a commercial. Would that be fair?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Like Flo, you know, I'm getting a little old of the Flo bit. I don't know. The hot chick from the AT&T commercials.
See, I think people are kind of up in the air on that. I know some people think she's really, really hot. It's not me.
No, I don't think she's really, really hot. I mean, she's obviously, there's an attraction to her. I don't think she's smoking. Those commercials do, like that one that, you know what it is? It is that commercial with the guy that has to turn the board back and forth constantly all the time. And then they go, no, we offer the same thing for old customers. But what about existing customers? I'm like, God, I get it. So that's it. It's her.
It's her? Okay.
It's the customer that comes in at the end?
Yes, the one that's like, is he okay? I'm like, oh, yeah. But, you know, and that's not their fault. The problem is they play it constantly when you watch football. So you see it 9 million times a weekend.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you there. Yeah. All right. Yeah, Kardashians for me.
Gentlemen. Question number two, as teased earlier, would you sell your name, image, and or likeness for $500,000 to become a meme?
Yes.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Yep.
And it's amazing that I was able to get that much because you could have had me way cheaper than that. $500,000.
For $1,000 and a couple of six packs, that would have been it. That's all I would have taken.
Well, I mean, look, now that I know we're talking $500,000 as a ceiling, we can negotiate. But to just become a meme Everybody would know. Yeah, of course. I'm totally fine with that. No publicity is bad publicity. You got to take it, man. For sure, I'm in. $500,000 you're paying me for
so
that?
So you're on the internet for yeah, you're on the internet for forever. And I'm not saying it's a good. I'm just
fine.
Somebody's
I don't take myself that seriously.
Yes. I'm in. You know, I'd probably let somebody hit me in the face with a bat for $500,000. Are you kidding me?
Well, we got bats.
Do you have $500,000 tax-free in a suitcase?
No.
And, again, the tax-free part is big to me because otherwise I'm really getting like $300-something. That's
see,
different.
You think a lot like I do. I mean, I want $500. I want $500K
free and clear
in a briefcase.
Yes, free and clear. And if you got to make it seven whatever so that I get $500,000 after taxes, that's the deal.
And I don't care any. I mean, whatever you want to put on the meme, I'm good with it.
Yeah, I don't even. You can put whatever. Yeah. Use it on tube sites. I don't care.
Yep.
Do whatever you need to.
I'll be by a
knowing
body
that you could
water.
Be out in public and random people come up to you. Hey, I saw you on tube sites, and yep, that's me. See you later.
Yep. And then I'm like, they're like, where are you going? I was like, I'm getting in my.
Not to work. I'm just kidding. I don't know if you probably could.
That's so, a Lambo. That's might not, want to hold on to that one.
Now, nowadays, that's not life-changing money, but that could probably eliminate some of the problems in your life.
Oh, you could eliminate a few. I think I would be just fine with
small footprint. Yep. Little cabin by the water. Have a boat.
I mean, I'm totally good. I was thinking 50K, so you just multiplied what my dreams were made of.
Yeah, for sure.
Sold. There's a lot of things I'd do for an affordable chunk of change.
Yeah, I don't want to call yourself a.
We all have a price.
We do all have a price.
And at the end of the day, nobody will remember it when you're dead. But the meme, they will.
Because it will last forever.
Yeah, and so your legacy to live forever is worth $500,000 sold right now. Somebody call the station, show me the money.
I mean, look
done.
At that fat kid right there.
Done.
Cool. I pulled up memes. Yeah. Little fat kid. It's got the, what is that, a carrot?
I don't even know what it is. Yeah, put whatever. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm good. I'll take my cash and peace. Have a nice one.
There question number three. Who has the better filmography, Tom Cruise or Matt Damon?
Ooh.
Are we including directorial and written work? That's interesting because, you know, Tom Cruise has been nominated for Academy Awards but has never won. Matt Damon won for writing Good Will Hunting. Tom Cruise has become... See, I think there's two phases to Tom Cruise's career.
He, at one time, was the most annoying public figure.
Maybe.
During that
for
phase.
For sure, yeah. But early on, when he was, like, Born on the 4th of July was really, really good. He is capable of actually acting, but he's become an action star, which there's nothing wrong with that. You look at the Mission Impossible series, A Few Good Men, Minority Report, Magnolia, Tropic Thunder, the role that he had in there, which was genius. You know, that dude is Top Gun, of course. And then you look at Matt Damon.
Man.
Talented Mr. Ripley, Good Hunting.
I mean, you go Rounders, Bagger Vance. I mean, I will say this. The filmography, I've enjoyed more of the movies that Matt Damon has been in than...
You're not a Mission Impossible guy?
No, it's okay. I like Jason Bourne.
Top
I like
Gun.
Jason Bourne. Bourne Supremacy, all that good stuff. Yeah. I'm going to say Matt Damon.
The Firm. You have the classic Tom Cruise run.
No, I did like The Firm.
I got to go Tom Cruise.
All right. Well, to each their own. I'm going Matt Damon.
Eyes Wide Shut. Days of Thunder, which you quoted earlier.
I didn't say I didn't like him. I'm leaning
Far
more towards
away
the
with
filmography.
A horrible Irish accent.
Yeah. Yeah. Matt Damon for me.
Plus Nicole Kidman and Katie Holmes.
Scientology, all that good stuff.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I got Tom Cruise. Because A Few Good Men is just, I mean, that's one of the epic all-timers.
Oh, none of y'all mentioned the Ocean. None of y'all mentioned the Ocean movies. Interesting. Okay, okay.
Yeah, Ocean. Ocean's 11, well, Ocean's 8, how many?
All right. He's not in that one, but okay.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to go through the entire filmography, but I will. Ford versus Ferrari.
Matt Damon.
Ocean's 8, but all right.
Yeah, oh, well, I mean, technically, do we consider him a part of Team America World Police?
Saving Private Ryan?
Oh, that's right, he was in Saving
Private
Ryan.
Yeah, see?
Because he was Private Ryan.
He was.
Private James Ryan?
Yes.
James Francis Ryan.
Yeah.
All right.
Question number four, speaking of movies, which science fiction or fantasy or horror type human... thing is the most likely to either have existed, currently exist, or will exist in the future. I'm talking like a vampire, a wizard, a zombie, something like that.
Or are we going extraterrestrial? Does that count or no? Are we talking like fantasy horror?
Yeah, fantasy, science fiction, whatever. But I'm not talking like a unicorn. I'm talking
right, but
like
sci-fi is realistic because obviously that type of thing exists. So are we talking about something we're pretty sure doesn't exist?
I'm asking which one do you think is most likely to
I think a unicorn. We could see a unicorn.
Well, the most likely is
all the
Star
things
Trek.
That scientists
again,
do.
Again, unicorn doesn't count because it's not human-like.
Okay, the most realistic thing that we're likely to encounter is the Star Trek movies. Because, obviously, you know, with wormhole travel and once we understand how light cell technology works, our ability to travel across the universe will increase and we'll most likely discover some sort of intelligent life form out there. So Star Trek is...
So you think it's an alien?
Oh, hands down. Are you kidding me? Mm. But I already view that as real. So I'm trying to think of something like a vampire. When can you turn into a bat? I don't know.
Well, not a bat, but you could probably develop wings. There's stuff that they could do, mixing chromosomes, crossbreeding.
So then you got to wonder, is there a closet you can walk into where a whistle-playing fawn will approach you? You know, like one of those little half-man, half-goat guys?
Oh, that'd be creepy.
Because then you start looking at Greek mythology, you wonder how much of that was real.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So is there a Minotaur out there? Is there a Centaur, some horseman guy?
Man, we've already got those. It's those rare human beings that, you know, electricity.
Yeah.
Like they don't get shocked.
Exactly.
I feel like you could maybe reverse engineer that thing, and he shoots out like bolts of lightning.
Like, I think like something like Predator is probably, you know, you can look at that and be like, okay, some civilization stumbles across us and is like, oh, much like we hunt deer, this is kind of fun. We'll just hunt humans. That makes sense. The Abyss.
A couple of movies about
you know,
that.
The Abyss is probably up there because you go down at the depths of the ocean, which we have no idea what's down there. Maybe there is a water person.
Underrated Kevin Costner movie, by the way.
Waterworld?
He had the gills. No, I'm just kidding. It was bad.
But what about that? What about a gill person?
A gill? I think it could happen.
You get in a fight at a bar, you just jab him in the gill?
Gaff him?
You know, he's like, did you just bump into me? You whip out a lure. He's like, hey. You're like, that was easy.
Pull out your harpoon gun.
Yeah, so there you go.
There you go.
All right, final question.
Yes.
Give me a one or two word answer, but you're being granted a cologne that describes your essence or your being. So what are you going to name your cologne? And I'll give you up to two words.
Eccentric. That's mine. Spray for a variety of times, for a variety of moods. Eccentric.
Eccentric by Matt McLaren.
There it is. Okay. That's my fragrance. And it kind of smells like a hop, like a piney, a little bit. Like a man, kind of, but with a little bit of a scent that she's not quite sure what hooks her in, like some natural pheromone.
Mine would be Smoky Wild.
God, that's good. Smoky Wild.
Yeah. Still, you're going to get a little bit of that, you know, the women are going to like it, but you can still appreciate wearing it if you're a man. You've got a little bit of that.
Yeah, because you've got a commercial where it's like a lumberjack dude who comes out.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, after a long day, I can't always afford to shower. So I use Smoky Wild. And then it shows like the hot, like Twin Peaks looking girl coming up to him. Let's go get wild. Yeah. And then he turns back to the camera. Smoky Wild.
We'll get Smoky Wild. Smoky Wild.
God, I love that. That is a genius name.
Do you regret yours, Matt?
No, because it's two totally different things, right? Like he's got, I can picture it. Eccentric works as well because it's not that I'm a suit-wearing guy, but it's a little bit more, you know, you have some elegance, but you're also kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody quite sure what you're going to bring, but I brought eccentric. Mm. Something like that.
What the hell elegance do you
have? It's not Smoky Wild. Smoky Wild I like a lot.
Ooh, I can't wait to smell him when he gets home. Wait a minute. Who's wearing Smoky Wild?
It's me, baby. And guess what? I've never shaved these armpits.
it's not.
And you're willing to be a meme like this for eternity.
I'm okay. Totally all good. Right. I'm in.
Mm. That's not my axe handle.
Okay, we got to stop.
All right.
I almost said something.
Oh, good stuff. Oh. Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
That's the best.
That is John Sabare and Pat Ponders, presented by friends at Alabama Roofing Professionals, 205-722-ROOF, alroofpros.com. We got Rob Pate coming up in just a few minutes, presented by Craneworks. His breakdown of what happened in Happy Valley. Can Auburn's offense with play calling, defense with pass rush, and passing efficiency on that side of the ball get better? It's Three Man Front, live from Academy Sports and Outdoors in Huntsville on Jocks 94.5.
This is Three Man Front.
All right.
Here we are. We
all
made
right.
it.
One of our great listeners, Rusty, coming by here at Academy Sports and Outdoors off Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. Rusty, a former coach, and reliving some good times, and we got caught up in conversation.
We did, and then that song, I thought it was about to be like Bud Light.
Yeah, I did.
Remember
too.
Remember those? It sounded like that.
I did too. And that's, yeah. Real man.
Yes, that. Yeah, yeah. Hero. God, those were genius.
It is genius. I'll tell you something else that's genius, and it's the only one of its kind in Birmingham, and it's the Fennec. The Fennec right there in the Parkside District near Railroad Park, also Regions. You can get in there. Lunch and dinner, it's a really cool spot. It's a music venue, entertainment, but also great food, great vibes that you go in. You can go in, Matt, and you'll appreciate this, whether it's craft beer. They'll serve it to you in a solo cup with someone live. They got two stages, and you got live music most days throughout the day. Like, you could go in right now, enjoy lunch. They've got the great wood-fired wings, but also the Kaneka corn dogs. You want to go with a burger, go with a sandwich. You want to go fork and knife, shrimp and grits. There's something for everyone. But if you want to go date night, you want to impress your lady friend.
I like you on that.
You go to there to the Foxhole Lounge, get a handcrafted martini, maybe a handcrafted cocktail, and then enjoy one of those tomahawk ribeyes while you're wearing your Smoky Wild cologne.
There you go.
Right? It's the Fennec.
That's the best.
Downtown Birmingham. Check them out. Tell them that the guys from Jocks sent you by, and you can actually get in right now, enjoy some lunch, and you got entertainment going. Entertainment coming up tonight. But Alice Bergeron, actually on the stage right now. You can go and listen to some
That's
music
incredible.
And enjoy lunch. I also have the curbside pickup if you're working downtown. Martini Shakers a little bit later on. That's a free show. And then tonight, you have another great act coming up with the Matt Bennett Band. It is the FennecBham.com. That's the FennecBham.com. You need to go and check it out. Speaking of checking out, we're going to be checking out some college football coming up this weekend. Some of the games, while the slate is not as huge as it has been, you still got some great games. Arkansas and Texas A&M. Who would have thought we would have been talking about this game the way we're talking about it now? Number 16 taking on number 7 in the country there in Jerry World. What that's going to decide, what that could mean, the trajectory of both of those teams. Maybe Texas A&M figures it out. Maybe Arkansas continues to just wow people. Sam Pittman in his second year in Fayetteville. It's going to be a low-scoring game. I think we agreed on that. Another game that I could see being a low-scoring game, I don't think it's a stretch, the one happening at Soldier Field. Notre Dame, somehow, yeah. Some way, Matt, they are still undefeated.
They're not 1-2.
They had their widest margin of victory over a Purdue team last week at home. But they open the season with the overtime win over Florida State. The next week, they survive Toledo somehow.
Toledo.
Yeah, out of the MAC. And now they're going to get this Wisconsin team, which, on intents and purposes, they ran 95 plays against Penn State. Had a field goal block, other things that went wrong in week one.
Too many turnovers.
Yeah, I think I like Wisconsin in this game. I think the luck of the Irish runs out. Soldier Field on Saturday.
Yeah, the only thing is if Mertz decides he wants to Penn State this thing, because Wisconsin should have won that game, but he'd get them down in the red zone and be like, oh, they're wearing white, throw it to them. And it became, I think he had three picks in that Wisconsin game, if I recall correctly. I mean, he threw a couple like real close to the goal line, and you just wonder if he's going to have those types of turnover problems against Notre Dame. I mean, that's how you keep a team in the game that you are beating, is to continually give them the ball. So we'll see, but I agree with you. I think Wisconsin's going to win this game. And look, Notre Dame has fallen three spots in the rankings, winning games. If they lose this, it feels like everybody is kind of like, okay, what if they lose, they're going to drop like a rock in the rankings.
I thought they were overrated to start the season.
They always are.
Based on what they had lost.
It's Texas and Notre Dame every year. Every year the voters just want them to be good so bad that they put them somewhere. So much like Texas, as soon as they have a win, they go, oh, throw them up there.
Right.
And then they lose, like, oh, well, I guess they're still what they were, and they just drop them out.
Here's another game that is probably not getting enough attention. You got Clemson, who has not impressed people on the offensive side of the ball. They got issues. That's obvious. They had issues against a Georgia Tech team.
Yeah.
That, need I remind you, Georgia Tech, while Jeff Collins is working his butt off to try to get that program back to being somewhat relevant, at least in his own conference, they lost to Northern Illinois in week one. Not a good football team. You're only able to muster 14 points. You're in a dogfight with them. They're taking on NC State. I was high on NC State after week one. Boy, was I let down when they went to Starkville and played Mississippi State. By all means, I don't think that they're world beaters, but they're playing at home, and it just seems like this might be a good spot for that NC State team to upset Clemson and give Clemson loss number two.
Yeah, it's here, and then I believe next week they have Boston College. And those really, when you look at the way the schedule lays out, I mean, maybe if you want to throw Pitt a bone, if they're going to get caught by a team that is not totally random, it'll be this week or next week, I think, most likely, between State, North Carolina State, or Boston College. But you're right, man. I mean, you look at that Clemson offense and their inability to effectively move the ball down the field. DJ's been horrible. I mean, he has not been good. Not at all. And you wonder, is it – and yes, of course, it's a product of so many different things. It's a product of the offensive line. It's a product of losing some of the skill position players they lost, not having Travis Etienne, and they just thought, oh, we'll just replace him with the next five-star, and that is not happening at all. He's completing 57% of his passes when in limited action, yes. But last year, he had actually thrown 111 passes, I think, was completing like 68% of his passes. He's thrown almost that many passes this year and is completing way less. I mean, that whole offense looks completely disjointed, and they've got a serious problem. You're not going to be able to go through the ACC, as poor as that conference is, winning games, putting up 14 points.
Not at all. And there's bigger concerns there. When you look at the recruiting classes that he's brought in, where is the disconnect? Where is that right now with that Clemson program? You mentioned the offensive line. That was an issue. I don't think we ever thought that we would see
Uyangalale
have the struggles.
No, I didn't think. And maybe it's on us because we had seen them go from Watson to Lawrence, and it was seamless, and we kind of figured, well, Clemson is pretty much on that level, right, where you just lose five-star, and the next guy comes in, and you bam this thing. But
right.
Reality of it is, if they don't make it to the playoff this year, which is a very likely thing, then you're looking at 3 years since the last time they had a shot at the national championship. That's not a dynasty.
No, and a lot of things have to shake out. And it's early, but right now, the way that they played, even if they do run that schedule, there's no way in your right mind you're going to believe that that's one of the four best teams if it continues to go this way in college football.
Yeah, and I've said this and I believe this. They need somebody. Like, they're going to need North Carolina to just run some games off here, because North Carolina has dropped into the rankings. What are they, 21, 24, whatever they are? If they lose again, they're out. Right now, when you look at the way their schedule lays out, they are banking on North Carolina staying in the rankings when they meet in the ACC title game. Otherwise, they will have beaten zero ranked teams all season, and they would have played one, and they lost to them in Georgia.
Well, another team that I'm not impressed with, and right now I wouldn't have them in the college football playoff, is Oklahoma.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
Being able to only muster what they mustered in 23 points last week versus the Nebraska team.
Nebraska.
I mean, come on. Versus Nebraska, that's ridiculous. They get West Virginia coming in this week. West Virginia, the win over Virginia Tech, that was big. They started the season, and this is, by talking to folks around that program, they believe that this was going to be the best roster as far as talent top to bottom, and maybe team that they had in quite some time. Neil Brown and West Virginia winning last week over Virginia Tech, going out to Norman.
Yep.
That could be a really dangerous spot for Lincoln Riley. And again, inexplicably, we heard all of this great stuff, and on paper it looked great with the transfer portal guys that you had coming in, the core guys coming out, or coming back.
Yeah.
Spencer Rattler, that all, it just seemed like it was perfect. It was in place. And how about that defense? That defense, they were going to really,
they're
going to turn the corner. I don't know if you watched the Tulane game, but
the
defense has not turned the corner. And Nebraska's just inept and anemic on the offensive side of the ball. So don't give them credit for allowing, what, 16 points to the Cornhuskers. I think they could be in trouble here. I think West Virginia gives them, if not a scare, gives them the outright loss. And we can go ahead and check Oklahoma off our college football playoff list.
Based on what I've seen from OU this year, they're going to lose more than one game. This is the type of Oklahoma team that could might stumble into the Cotton Bowl in a couple of weeks undefeated, and Texas beats them. Oh, where'd that come from? That rivalry game, we have seen bad Oklahoma teams beat good Texas teams and vice versa. That is always a game that has some scare to it. K-State, who looks like they might have a little something this year. You know, Bedlam at the end of the season against Oklahoma State, you can never count on that as just being some walk in there and we win easy type game. Spencer Rattler, and granted, Matt Barkley could have gone pro and Rattler couldn't have. Spencer Rattler right now is Matt Barkleying himself.
Yeah, he is.
He has regressed. I've watched a couple of their games. He has gone backwards. He is, I don't know what it is or if he thought he's something that perhaps he's just not at that level. The balls that he's trying to force, the throws that he is making that he can't make, that he's trying to, have created turnovers. I mean, that Tulane game, now granted that was a season opener, but last week again, it's Nebraska, dude. It's Nebraska. They're trash. If you struggle like that against Nebraska, you're going to lose a couple games.
No doubt.
And then the Big 12. I don't know that the Big 12 has a team even with one loss. I don't think they're going to the playoff. I think
it's tough to imagine right now.
I wouldn't be surprised if you have a two-loss team that wins the Big 12.
Because you do have those the Kansas States of the world. I mean, Chris Klieman's a heck of a coach, and knew he that was probably the perfect setup, him getting that job in Manhattan to take over that program. It just fits his personality, and he's going to build it. And not, I don't want to go Butch Jones here, but brick by brick. And I mean, that's a Kansas State team that we saw beat Oklahoma. What did they do it 2 years in a row now?
OU always has a game, it feels like, every season
every
that
year.
Nobody sees coming. You know, Tech gets them out of the blue. An unranked Texas team that has no business beating you when you're in the top five beats you at the state fair here on October 9th. You somehow find a way, like you just said, West Virginia goes into Norman.
But isn't that essentially what we've seen for the Big 12 most years?
Yes.
Because
it's exactly what we're seeing.
I mean, it is literally a crapshoot.
Yes, every, it
with,
is.
With about three or four games every single weekend.
And then OU has been helped out in the last couple of seasons because of the fact they play a title game. So you've got an opportunity. Wow, man, we shouldn't have lost that game. Well, that's okay. We can win the Big 12 title. We can make it up later down the road.
All right. We're going to talk about Auburn, what they need to improve. They'll try to tune things up against Georgia State this weekend. Rob Pate, former Auburn DB, presented by Craneworks, joins us next.
Three Man Front, weekdays.
Right here on Jax.
Jax 94.5.
11:47, three-man front. Landrum Roberts, Matt McLaren, hanging out, Academy Sports and Outdoors in Huntsville. Clint, great Jocks listener, listens on the ump. Appreciate all our friends up here in North Alabama coming by here off of Memorial Parkway to say hello. We'll get right into it. Rob Pate, former Auburn defensive back, joins us every week, courtesy of Craneworks.
Lift it, load it, grade it, grind it, move it, haul it, rig it, dig it, Craneworks, Craneworks, yeah, the big dog's got it.
Rob Pate on Three Man Front is brought to you by Craneworks. Lift it, buy it, rent it. The big dog's got it. And now, Rob Pate.
And Rob joins us on the Bud Light Hotline. Bud Light game night coming up tonight, 5 to 7 from Top Golf. Rob, hope you're doing well. Going back to last week, what happened in Happy Valley? Some good and some bad to take away from that game. First of all, your thoughts on the offense and some of the play calling that we saw from Mike Bobo.
Well, you know, first of all, I thought it was obvious that those guys fought for four quarters, and you know, you could just tell that this team is, you know, I think mentally and physically in a better spot than they have been over the last couple of years. So, you know, from the people that were there, people that could actually watch it in person. To the way that it played out, the times that they got behind the eight ball and the, you know, the, those guys fighting to get back in position, driving down after going down 21-10. I think that was probably the best response that I've seen Auburn have in a long time to go back down there and go on a 75-yard drive and punch the thing in. you know, of course there were play calls that, you know, the reverse wasn't that, you know, big of a deal for me. In fact, if you go back and watch the footage, if he hadn't dropped that ball, he likely scores. Penn State had so far overrun that play. He had a wall of people in front of him. And if Kobe Hudson doesn't put that ball on the ground, then Auburn's probably, you know, the band's playing. He's hitting his head on the goalpost. The fourth down call, you know, I haven't heard anybody that likes that play. You know, low percentage. It showed that that staff had more faith in a wide receiving core that had proven nothing to that point in Bo Nix than they did in their offensive line. It's just hard for me to believe that they got on the bus thinking that they gave Penn State their best opportunity right there in that position. I think they would go back and do that one over. But honestly, you know, when you step back and look at all of it, I had more concern with what we saw defensively than I did with what we saw offensively. I thought defensively we would be more aggressive. I thought we would mix and match our coverages more. I didn't think we would have as many busts as we did. That was the most disappointing. The two things, the inability for our guys to get a call in, our coaching staff to get a call in to the players to get lined up. And you know, before the snap of the ball, too many times we had 11 guys looking at the sidelines and Penn State snapping the ball. And then the other thing is the busts. I mean, almost everything Penn State got, we gave to them. I mean, we literally got them in position to get down and score because they did a good job of scheming to get Smoke Monday out of position several times and to really abuse us with the tight ends in ways that shouldn't have happened. So that's really where the what irked me most about what we saw in that game.
When you look at this pass defense, you kind of talked about it, Rob. You know, Auburn right now is dead last in the country, allowing opposing quarterbacks to complete about 80% of their passes. What do you think they need to do to rectify that problem defensively of we're just going to throw it 10 times and we'll complete 8 out of those 10 passes against you?
Well, you know, I'm not as big of as a downer on the bend but don't break defense or the zone defense. I think it's super smart to be able to do both. It's just if you're going to be a bend and not break defense, you can't have so many coverage busts. And you got to have guys that know where they're supposed to be. They got to do their job and you know, and we just didn't have that. I think mix and matching what you're doing. I mean, you've recruited a bunch of you just got to step back and look at your personnel, just like they're doing everywhere else, and say, we've recruited a bunch of guys that have been, you know, in your face, press man coverage across the field. That's what they're comfortable doing. And you got to implement that some just for their own comfort level and let them continue to excel at that, or else you lose that skill. It's not easy to never run zone and then implement zone. I know it sounds easy. Hey, you just go cover that flat, but nobody can just stand there and guard grass. I mean, you have to be able to identify what the quarterback's doing and what the route combinations are that the receivers are trying to run. But more than anything, I think they thought that the guys up front would be able to get more pressure than they ever were, and they weren't willing to come out of that that safe three or four man pass rush to do anything about it, and ultimately. That allowed a senior quarterback. I mean, that was one of my biggest concerns going into this game. They had a senior quarterback. They had a senior receiver that's a big play guy. And they let those two get on rhythm and find a lot of comfort. And once that happened, you were going to be in for a four-quarter war.
All right. And finally, Rob, how do you improve that? Because you're going to have more passing offenses and better quarterbacks than you face than the one you face in Sean Clifford with Matt Corral, Bryce Young, and others, just to name a few, left on that schedule. How do you rectify that?
Well, you're going to have to manufacture pressure. You're going to have to bring some guys. You're going to have to show different looks. You're going to have to, you know, continue to play zone, but continue to step guys up and let them be physical with receivers and reroute receivers. That's the biggest thing. You disrupt timing when you get up in front of those guys. And you can do that in zone, but you got to get your hands on guys and be able to be disruptive. But I think more than anything, just finding some guys that can push the pocket, get a quarterback uncomfortable, don't let him sit there and not have to move his feet, make easy throws. You know, those things are all fixable. So I think that they'll learn from that and will improve as time goes on. But you know, it's a lesson learned the hard way, taking that loss in a big time atmosphere like that.
All right, Rob, we always appreciate your visits, and your visits always made possible by our friends at Craneworks.
Yeah, Craneworks has offices, you know, all up and down I-65, Birmingham, Mobile, Nashville. You know, been serving the Southeast for a long time. And if you need a crane or crane service, equipment rental, you're planning a lift, whatever your next project may be, then give the best team in the industry a call, and they will get your job done efficiently and do it correctly. And the Rental Works division always has the most experienced and trained operators for any equipment you may need. So give the big dog a call or visit them over at craneworks.com.
Rob, always a pleasure. Thanks. Have a great weekend, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. You too, guys. War Eagle.
Rob Haidt on the Bud Light Hotline. Bud Light game night tonight, 5-7 from Topgolf in Birmingham. Come and join us. Well, you got to stay with us. We just keep on rolling.
Yeah, we do.
The Mick Landrum Show. I mean, Matt McLaren Show comes your way next, and he's going to let me hang out.
Yeah. Yep, there it is. I figured you drove me here. At least I can do is let you stay.
Plus, you smell like Smokey Wild.
Smokey Wild.
Can't wait for the next 2 hours.
This is Three Man Front on Jax 94.5.